Okay. Let me get started. So today's topic is slightly different. It is actually a real life application thing. I'm going to talk about OTR, but whatever it is, it starts with two concepts. The two basic concepts that, okay, messaging. We're talking about sending messages between two people or two computers, Alice and Bob. That's been our secure messaging stories for a long time. What we have not been talking about are, can you do messaging under these two conditions? What's plausible deniability and what is perfect forest security? There was a lecture on that on a tape, and you can go revisit it. Plausible deniability says and I go into quite a bit of detail about plausible deniability and when it applies and when it doesn't in that lecture that was on tape. So at least the basic idea is that if you said something, you can say, I didn't say it, and you have no proof. Perfect forward security is if keys are compromised, and by keys, I mean long-term keys. Now, if you're having a communication using a certain key and symmetric encryption, if that key I get to know, I can read the messages. That's not solvable. But if you finished a conversation later, your computer, everything on your computer gets exposed. Well, those messages might get exposed too, but we're talking about keys that are stored on the machine. If they get exposed, prior conversations get exposed. Future, we're not talking about that. Somebody has been recording all messages, but these messages are encrypted. This somebody finds the keys that were long-term keys that were used in key exchange or something like that, and hence if you find the key that was private key that was used in a key exchange, then you can from the key exchange message you can get what the key was and symmetric key was, and then you can decrypt the messages using the symmetric key that you found. So that's a violation of perfect forward security. It says it should not get compromised. So, plausible deniability and perfect forward security. Well, unencrypted email, there's nothing to get compromised. Plausible deniability, anybody can make it up. So there's no proof that I sent a message. When you're using SSL communications, plausible deniability is sort of, one can argue either way, that there is or there isn't. But perfect forward security, there isn't, because once the SSL uses a public key, private key pair, and these are long-term secrets, and when somebody's, and you're doing key exchanges with that, so all keys will get exposed if the private key is exposed. Email with PGP is not very commonly used. It's a way of signing messages. And when you sign messages, you cannot say, I didn't do it. And of course, perfect forward security is also not guaranteed. But we want everything. Unencrypted email is great, but it's not private, it's not authenticated, it's not integrity preserving, and the moment you start getting into privacy and integrity, things don't work out very well in terms of these two conditions. But can I get everything? Okay. So the protocol that claims or really has been shown mathematically pretty clearly is called OTR. Of the record messaging, this is by people, Borisov. Who else has it? Now, there are several commercial, semi-commercial products that use OTR or claim they use OTR. The first one was Signal. It's an instant messaging thing. So is Telegram. Telegram is considered to be the best currently. I'm not sure why people have been complaining Signal has some problems in the implementation. Pigeon has a plugin for OTR. It's not a very useful. Anyway, we'll get into OTR and see its positives and negatives. And WhatsApp also claims, but nobody trusts it, because it's reasonably easy to mess with OTR in a variety of ways. But only if OTR is very correctly implemented and the humans are smart enough to exchange certain secrets without going through the messaging app, then OTR works. And when you automate it completely so that the human is not involved, it's not clear that OTR will be good. You're better off doing just standard SSL type communications. But SSL communications has a man-in-the-middle problem because the endpoint, the server has to have a certificate. So when you're talking about an instant messaging app where nobody has a certificate, then it's pretty easy to do a man-in-the-middle. Okay? Okay, so on our way to OTR, let's look at what's going on. How can we get perfect forward security and plausible deniability? And the answer is, the only answer that we know of is use ephemeral keys. That is, you don't store anything long term. You do a key exchange, you use it, you throw it away. And, well, that's easy to say. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to do. Because ephemeral keys, the only algorithm that I know of is Diffie-Hellman. And Diffie-Hellman works with Alice and Bob having a secret A and a secret B generator and a modulus. Alice sends GA, Bob sends GB, and then they communicate using G to the power AB, everything modulo N. Remember that. And you know why it works, and you know why it does not work. Because there is no way of preventing man-in-the-middle attacks. So we want privacy. Diffie-Hellman will give it to you. You want authentication? No. You want integrity? I didn't show it here, but you have to use Max for integrity, and Max solved the integrity problem. You are not getting authentication, and you're not getting immunity from man-in-the-middle attacks. So how do we, so our hands are tied. We have to use Diffie-Hellman for key exchange and then layer on authentication, etc., on top of that. So let's take a look at a few things. Firstly, without authentication, let's do a Diffie-Hellman key exchange with a man in the middle. So this guy sends GA, this guy sends GB. G and N are very well known. There is an MITM. MITM sends back GM. MITM sends this Bob guy GM. You can have M1, M2, but doesn't matter. And so the key between these two are GAM, and the key between MITM and Bob is GBM. OTR starts with an idea that can you detect man-in-the-middle attacks? If you cannot prevent it, can you detect it? And if you can, then you just try a connection, ignore the fact that there's a man in the middle, and then figure out if there's a man in the middle, don't talk, just abandon. Now, you can see there is an easy way of detecting man-in-the-middle here. Using an out-of-band channel, A and B communicate their keys, GAM and GBM. Not equal equals MITM. Okay? If there is no MITM, then both the keys A and B will be the same. If there is an MITM, then it won't be the same. Now, how can you compare? Sounds like Alice should send a message to Bob with the key in it. Right? Will that work? Why not? The man in the middle can change it, yes. Even if the key is encrypted in GAM, so I'm sending out GAM encrypted in GAM to Bob, man in the middle decrypts, knows exactly what's going on, replaces it with the key GBM, encrypted in GBM, sends it to Bob. And so you can use some other trickery by obfuscating this message so that the MITM cannot detect it. That is security through obscurity. Whatever you do must be clearly stated, and at a certain step you do that, and the MITM will know what you are doing because everything is publicly stated. So you have to use an out-of-band channel. If you are using an out-of-band channel that is secure, just use that. Why are we getting into anything? Okay, so that's not a solution. We cannot say, like, okay, figure out somehow. And for every message, every key exchange, you've got to use this channel to figure out whether there's an MITM or not. And then we haven't solved the authentication problem anyway. Can we do authentication over Diffie-Hellman? This is a complex topic, but I'll just do it. So let's first assume A and B both have This is a bad assumption, but I'm going to make it to simplify things a bit. Bad assumption because you cannot really know somebody's public key without going meeting person to person. But it completely solves all MITM problems. So does the but we haven't authenticated yet, but we can probably solve MITM by this, but let's see how that works out.
Professor, we'll have to solve this with the certificates, right?
Then both people have to have certificates and all that, and then who's the certificate authority, how do you, the standard stuff. So, no, even if you don't have certificates, I could tell you in person what my public key is, and you'll believe it because I've told you. So you do a challenge response both ways. Now Alice and Bob knows they're talking to each other. Now you can do a key exchange by using RSA. We're doing RSA public-private key pairs here. And you lose plausible deniability as well as perfect forward security. Okay. So knowing public key, you won't get a man-in-the-middle attack, but you will be able to. But you won't get plausible deniability or perfect forward security because everything is signed here and things can be proven. Right? So instead of doing a key exchange with RSA, I do a key exchange If you do a Diffie-Hellman key exchange, it does not work. Right? Why? Because Alice and Bob authenticated each other over a public channel. Moment this authentication step is over, you don't know who's talking to who anymore. There is an Alice, there is a Bob. But when they do a key exchange, the man in the middle substitutes the keys and they're going, okay, we are happy. No, you're not. You're not talking to each other. You verified that each other is online, but you are not talking to each other. So this can be man in the middle. So how about we do it reverse? First do a Diffie-Hellman key exchange and then do an authentication. Now this Diffie-Hellman will get MITM'd. So we have GBX. GBM here and GAM. So now they can do over this channel, which is a secure channel, with a man in the middle, you do a challenge response. Right? So Alice sends a challenge to Bob, and Bob sends back a response. And we'll do it both ways. When Alice sends the challenge to Bob, it's encrypted in GAM. MITM decrypts the challenge, re-encrypts in GBM, sends it to Bob. It's acting like a relay. Bob generates the correct response. MITM relays that through. Alice is convinced Bob's talking to her. Bob's convinced Alice is talking to her. They know each other's public keys. There cannot be a man in the middle. Yet there is a man in the middle. And further communications. So now they've done challenge response, and then another challenge response, and then the communications use GAM and GBM, and hence the MITM can see both sides of the communication. Now, what's going wrong? If you know each other's public key, then how can there be an MITM? We just made a statement that if you really, really know each other's public keys, then you cannot have a man in the middle there. And I'm showing you there can be a man in the middle. So which one's wrong?
So if they already have the public keys, why are we doing a key exchange?
Because we want to use a key to have a communication that cannot be traced back to use of any long-term secrets. But they have their public keys. So once you have public keys, what you can do is just encrypt messages in the other person's public key and send it. It'll be perfectly secure. But it will not have plausible deniability. Because if your private key is compromised, somebody can prove you sent this message. You sent a message with a Mac or English text that now I can decrypt with I sent a message, it decrypts with Bob's public key. That does not prove anything, but the other way around it proves that Bob's sending messages. So you don't get plausible deniability, you don't get perfect forward security. So we use a Diffie-Hellman key exchange. Diffie-Hellman key exchange doesn't reveal anything about who did it, and there's no long-term secret, so later, after the conversation is over, you cannot find the Diffie-Hellman key. Ephemeral, it gets thrown away. So I do a Diffie-Hellman key exchange. That's the key I'm going to use in my conversation. But since after doing a Diffie-Hellman key exchange, I do not know who am I talking to, is it an imposter, or whatever, I do a challenge response. I succeed in the challenge response. But the challenge response can be just relayed by the man in the middle, so we still have a man in the middle. Okay. If you know each other's private keys, you can stop man in the middles by using a public key-based key exchange, just like SSL does. SSL with the certificate assumes that the public key is correct and then sends a key, symmetric key, encrypted in the host's public key. That cannot be man in the middle. But here we are not doing a public key exchange. We are doing a Diffie-Hellman key exchange. And so the connection gets, the man in the middle still stays. So once you have done a Diffie-Hellman, there is no way of making sure that there's no man in the middle. And there's no way of doing authentication either. This authentication will work because Alice will know that eventually Bob is sending the responses. But is there other people involved? Am I really talking to Bob? We don't know that. So this is the problem that was, that is being attempted to be fixed by the use of the OTR protocol. And from this point, this is should be reasonably clear, from this point things go downhill. I get nervous about presenting the OTR protocol because it is pretty confusing and very math heavy. So we'll do it. I'm tempted to hand wave it through. Okay, here's the math, here's how it works, and it works out. No, let's do the math, because it's a real protocol. What happened? Okay, here we go. There is a protocol that is used in OTR as a sub-protocol called Diffie-Hellman AKE. AKE stands for Authenticated Key Exchange. It seems like this is, protocol will solve the problem. It doesn't. It is an authenticated key exchange, but it's really not good. But it's a starting point. You have to do what I did on the previous slide. You have to do Diffie-Hellman key exchange, then you have to do authentication, and then you have to do man-in-the-middle detection in order to get what we want. So the AKE does not do man-in-the-middle detection, so man-in-the-middle is possible. It's just a more complex version of a protocol I did on the previous slide. So this AKE works as No. That's not. I'm already getting confused. Okay. I said it's a complicated protocol, but I purposely simplified this. A sends to B this value, there is more. There are more garbage in there with some max and this and the other. I've eliminated that to make it more simpler and understandable. This is, R is a nonce. So in Diffie-Hellman, you're supposed to send G to the power A. Alice is sending G to the power A encrypted in something, which nobody knows. Alice knows. Bob sends to Alice G to the power B, which is the correct thing. Alice sends to Bob the nonce So Allison, assumption is Allison and Bob have public keys and they know each other's public keys. Or they could have certificates. Or somehow something that identifies Allison and Bob. Okay? Could be passwords also, but that will get exposed. So Alice sends to Bob, GA encrypted. Bob sends to Alice, GB. Alice sends to Bob the encrypted notes, and an encrypted message which contains authentication information. Alice's public key, Alice's certificate, some random number encrypted with Alice's private key, so that's a signature. There's a lot more detail here, but at this point I'll say, trust me, that signifies it's Alice. And Bob does not know R-S at this point. But given R, Bob can get S and decrypt that message and check the public keys are correct. And Bob sends to Alice a similarly public key signed thing, so Alice and Bob know that they are talking to each other. So that's the authentication, and the key exchange is also happening here. The reason for doing this is you're trying to make sure that Bob is the person I'm talking to, because only Bob will know S, because I'm getting this GB. But it doesn't do anything about man-in-the-middle attack, because MITM can pretend to be Bob and pass on signatures. Yeah. And then Alice would be using G to the power AM there, and M can decrypt that, so nothing. You man-in-the-middle can mess with this. So it's just a fancy algorithm which really doesn't solve anything. But it's a standard algorithm. Diffie-Hellman AKE is published algorithm, yes.
So why, in the first step, Alice is sending GA encrypted with R, but then he's sending R also in plain text, so why would you do that? Okay, no reason.
That's why I'm going, this is flaky. This is just, you're playing games. This is the same thing as the algorithm I started with, that you just do challenge responses. That's what's going on here. But, okay, somebody has to come up with a recipe of how to do challenge response after Diffie-Hellman. And that recipe, for whatever reason, is this guy, AKE. AKE also has various Macs and things to make it reasonably good in terms of Alice and Bob authenticate each other. And I'm not trying to solve the authentication problem. If you've got public keys, you can authenticate each other. Authenticating each other does not cause any problems with perfect forward security, because the key that's going to be used The keys that's going to be used in this communication will either be GAB if there's no man in the middle. If there's man in the middle, there's two keys, GAM and GBM. But GAM, GBM, GAB, none of these can be exposed by knowing anybody's public keys. They're not derived from public keys. They're not transmitted using public keys. So you cannot find these, even if you compromise both systems, Alice and Bob systems. So we get perfect forward security. Do we get plausible deniability? Sure. I mean, we authenticated, but you know that we talked. In order to make sure that an observer can't see Alice and Bob talking, you have to use Dunnian routers and things, mixed nets and things like that. They can see messages going from Alice and Bob, but they don't know what's in it. And if a message from Alice is exposed, Alice sent a message to Bob, it got exposed by Bob, Alice can deny because there's no signature on the message that Bob could have cooked up.
So is there a pre
G is always previously agreed upon. G actually is, there are about, 100 or 1,000 G's that are publicly known. So you're supposed to do not invent your own G. Use one of the publicly known ones and state this is the standard 23.5 G and N. So Diffie-Hellman generators are documented. So Diffie-Hellman AKE doesn't work. It works, except that a man in the middle can destroy everything. But it does provide perfect forward security and plausible deniability. That's the only positives that we have so far.
I didn't understand how it provides perfect forward security.
Okay, let's get out of the mat and say A and B, there's a Diffie-Hellman. And then if they do any messaging, and later, much later at point T, I grab B's computer and look for B's public keys, etc. I will not find the Diffie-Hellman key. That's used as a temporary ephemeral key. So I cannot decrypt the messages which I have recorded. I'm almighty on the network, so I've got records of every message sent by Alice and Bob. But they were encrypted in a Diffie-Hellman key. If they were encrypted using an RSA key exchange, I could find it. But if they're encrypted with Diffie-Hellman, I cannot find it. So plausible deniability using Diffie-Hellman, perfect forward security using Diffie-Hellman. Plausible deniability says, have you been sending messages? Did you sign the messages? In SSL, we don't sign messages. We use a particular key to send messages that doesn't prove later that I knew the messages, that I'm the sender. Because I'm sending messages to Bob. Bob gave me this key. Bob has this key also. So Bob could be cooking up these messages. I didn't send them. PGP, on the other hand, signs messages. So plausible deniability is easier to get. Even in RSA-based communications, it's easier to get. But with RSA-based key exchange, you don't get perfect forward security. So with the Diffie-Hellman key exchange, we have perfect forward security. Now if we authenticate, and then we communicate, this authentication step can be deciphered. No, you're doing it over a Diffie-Hellman channel, so we don't know what's going on there. And later, there's no record of any unencrypted transmissions or any keys. The public keys and the private keys do not have any role in this communication. This is not derived from anybody's public key or private key. So even if public-private key pairs get exposed, older things cannot get exposed. Or you can still deny, didn't do it. The other party could have done it. So Diffie-Hellman with AKE provides everything, but it's a disaster where man in the middle is concerned. Okay, before getting to OTR, there's a couple of other terms that are constantly thrown around in OTR protocols, is that OTR uses so double ratchet and published MAX are features that strengthen OTR. It's really not needed, but since any time you read something about OTR, people like to hype this double ratchet and MAX that I'm going to just give you a quick explanation. Double ratchet means I'm using a certain key, AB, certain key. Then one of the parties sends me a nonce. Now this nonce can't be seen by anybody other than man in the middle. And I use that nonce and my original key to create another key and use that. So in something about it, and there's some generators and more complexity thrown in, that if somebody found out this key, they wouldn't be able to find out that key. Something like that. So it just ratchets up, can't go back kind of thing. So unless if you think during the communication something gets compromised, it's not necessary. So double ratchet is both ways ratcheting. So you keep on moving the keys to different keys. Rekeying during a conversation. I'm going to assume there's no double ratchet. Once you set up a symmetric communication, you do the communication and then you throw the keys away. Published Max says, this is cute, but whatever. It says, you're using Max to preserve integrity, to make sure of a bunch of things. At the end of the conversation, when you're done, throw away the key and publish the Mac so that everybody knows what Mac you've been using. And that way, whenever something gets incriminated, you say, look, everybody knows the Mac. They could have created these messages. The Mac's not a secret anymore. It was a secret. But now it's not. So how do we know somebody hasn't been faking the messages? Again, not necessary. But both double ratchet and max are just nice hypes to the algorithm. So don't get confused by those terms being used, and I won't use them anymore. So how do we do OTR? Millionaire's problem, very complicated problem that was, it's called the Yao's millionaire problem. And it was solved by, who are these people? I'm not going to, millionaire's problem, what is it? There are two millionaires whose net worth are very large. Why billionaires and large? Because, you know, we're talking about large numbers here. So they have certain amounts of money. So they know Alice has X dollars, Bob has Y dollars. They want to talk and figure out who has more money. Okay? But they will not disclose anything. Even if their money is zero, you wouldn't get to know what is the value of the money. So how can they realize after passing hashes or whatever who has more money? Both of them will realize the other party has more money. So this X and Y will be used in certain computations, and but you will not get any information about X and Y. So this problem took a while to get solved. Lin and Seng solved it. The solution is on Wikipedia. I haven't figured it out. It's huge matrices, lots of entropy, very complicated stuff. And it's not relevant to our discussion, so we're going to leave millionaire's problem to the cryptographers. The variant of a millionaire's problem is called socialist millionaires. That is, equality is good, right? A has X dollars, B has Y dollars. They want to know, do they have equal number of dollars? Equal, exactly equal. X and Y are integers. Is it exactly equal or not? The answer is, of course not. I mean, two large numbers will not be equal. But what if it is? Can we detect that these two numbers are equal? The solution to this is difficult, but not as difficult as the socialist millionaire, as the millionaire. We are going to have to solve the socialist millionaire problem to do OTR. Because remember, the starting point was, is the two keys the same without divulging the keys? But you could have divulged the keys. So it's not a great deal. But turns out socialist millionaire cannot be used to compare Diffie-Hellman keys. And I'll tell you why not. A has the key X, B has the key Y. Use the socialist millionaire to compare them. And if X is equal to Y, there's no MITM. If X is not equal to Y, there's an MITM. Great. So if you can solve the socialist millionaire problem, you can solve this, it's done. MITM detection. No, it doesn't work. When A tries to communicate with B to compare X to Y, MITM pretends to be Bob, picks the same number X, does socialist millionaire with Alice, and Alice thinks Bob has X. And MITM does the same with Bob. So even though the socialist millionaire can resolve the thing, the MITM messes it up. This Diffie-Hellman with an MITM is extremely powerful. You can do anything. So to fix it, you need a much bigger hammer. And the hammer that we are going to use is the biggest weakness of OTR. This is an assumption which is terrible. Alice and Bob, who are two people on an instant messaging service, they must have exchanged one number, one secret that they both know, and it's exactly the same. Okay? And how did they get that number? How was it transmitted? We don't know. You have to do that. For every pair of people communicating, you have to pre-exchange a secret. Now you're reducing the vulnerability that you're not constantly exchanging secrets or Diffie-Hellman key exchanges which can be MITM'd. You assume this secret is shared without anybody figuring it out, or maybe you can do it with public-private key and authenticated SSL connection and you exchange the secret. And Alice chooses a secret, Bob chooses a secret, concatenate it, and it becomes the common secret. Somehow, you've got to do that. Once that is done, then so we're going to assume Alice has a secret X, Bob has a secret Y, and X is equal to Y. Why are we saying X and Y? I'm going to rename the secrets X and Y because it makes it easier to understand in the protocol who's using which secret. But they should be equal. They're the same number. X and Y are the same number. So that has happened once in their lifetimes, and they preserve this as a long-term secret, but they never use it. Once you have a secret established between you and somebody else, you can use that secret as your encryption key. Or you can send encryption keys with using that secret. That's great, you can. You will lose perfect forward security. So we will not use this secret at all in exchanging keys or exchanging messages. So then step two, step one you assume, step two you do a Diffie-Hellman with AKE. Step three, and this is the killer. So you did it, there's no communication. Here, you did a Diffie-Hellman AKE, so they know that Alice and Bob are online. There might be a bad boy in the middle. Then Alice and Bob starts playing the socialist millionaire game. Since only Alice and Bob knows X and Y, MITM cannot play this game. And then, they will detect whether there's an MITM or not. MITM will not pass the test of having the same X as Alice or the same Y as Bob. And if there is an MITM, abandon, try again. So denial of service can happen. If the MITM constantly gets in the way, Alice and Bob will not be able to talk, but the MITM will not be able to see anything, so what's the point? So how does this work? Check for MITM, compare the X and Y using socialist millionaire. So now what is this socialist millionaire solution? So there are two major problems. One is, how do you do this? We are keeping quiet about it, we don't know. And how do you do socialist millionaire? That's a long game. So let's see. Let's see if I... Alice has picked A, Bob has picked B, and then they exchange A and B. So they have done an AKE. So they know the secret, that there's a channel. And that channel, there's a symmetric key, GAB or GMA and MB. And that's been established. And they will, all the messages that are being passed now are encrypted using the Diffie-Hellman keys. Alice sends to Bob, we'll call this G1. This is where I get upset and confused. Alice picks two numbers, A2 and A3. Initially, Alice picked A, B, G, and N. I'm renumbering G2, G1, but A and B stays A and B. Alice picks two more A's, A2 and A3. Alice computes G1 to the power A2, G1 to the power A3. And instead of calling it G1A2, G1A3, they call it G2A, G3A. These are the... value of G2A is G1 to the power A2. And Bob picks B2, B3, and sends G2B equals, and G3B equals G1 to the power B2, G1 to the power B3. Nothing much has happened yet, but it's already, the terminology is confusing. I'm sorry, but I didn't make this up. I'm following the written protocols. Now, so they've exchanged more secrets here. All of this the man in the middle can mess with. So let's go without the man in the middle, and then we'll figure out how we are detecting the man in the middle. Okay, Alice computes two numbers, G2A and G3A, sends it to Bob. Bob computes same thing, G2B and G3B, has not sent it to Alice yet. So Bob has got these two numbers. Then Bob also computes, so he... he has gotten these two numbers from Alice. He computes G2 and G3 as G2A raised to B2, G3A raised to B3, and it's called G2 and G3. Alice picks a random, Bob picks a random number R, computes PB, which is G3 to the power R, and QB, which is G1 to the power R, and G2 to the power Y. This Y is the pre-shared secret. And so he's computing things that he has received from Alice or Mallory, adds in his junk to it, adds in this number, and creates these things, and he sends out PB and QB, and he sends out G3B and G2B. And now Alice will do something else. But notice, everything here is flaky, and man in the middle can mess with it, except that Y. Man in the middle does not know Y, does not know how to substitute Y with what number. So man in the middle can just cook up a number Y and put it in there. He will get caught. Okay? And why are we using socialist millionaire instead of something else? Because this Y and X are very secret numbers. They should not get exposed to anything. Even though Alice and Bob both know Y, an MITM shouldn't be able to figure out what Y is. And that's where the socialist millionaire comes in. And this is the socialist millionaire solution. That is, you do all of this. Yes. Sorry. So I hope you've memorized all the names, because this is going to come back. Alice does something similar. So Alice computes G2 and G3. Will G2 and G3, Bob computed G2 and G3, Alice computes G2 and G3, are they the same? Answer should be the same. G2B to the power A, what is G2B? G2B is B to the G1 to the power B2. G1 to the power A2B2. And this G2B this is G1 to the power A2B2. Yeah, so these two are the same. Or they are not the same as Alice's G's if the man in the middle attack is happening. So if there's no man in the middle, this will be the same number. So Alice is not sending out anything yet. S is the correspondence of R. Bob picked R, Alice picks S. So, if your notes are in one page, you'll see that Bob sent some version of A, some version of B, and P and Q, PBPQ. Those two Alice doesn't have to send because they can be computed. They're G1 and G2 and G3 what people get to know, because it's like a Diffie-Hellman key exchange. Alice sends out PA, QA, and QA divided by QB, which she got from Bob. Then Alice does more. But let's say we stop here and say Bob can do a socialist millionaire check. Bob needs to compute something called RB, something called RAB, and then compare RAB with PA and PB. Okay. Now that we are totally confused, I'm going to try and expand what RAB is. Okay. RAB is PA divided by PB. What is PA? PA is G3S and PB is G3R. No, it's completely different in my notes. Oh, RAB is RA to the power B3, which is equal to RA is QA divided by QB, so that thing to the power B3. And B3 is QA divided by QB. What? Okay, I'm just going to copy my notes and see if it makes sense or where the error is or there is no error. I'm going to say RAB equals RA to the power B3, which is equal to QA divided by QB to the power A3B3. Is that true? B3 is equal to yes, it is true. RA is QA by QB to the power A3, and that's B3, so yeah, this is true. Okay. This you can do from, if you substitute what is QA divided by QB, QA is GS and G something. QB has R and Q, the numerator is something to the power S, denominator is something to the power R, so it becomes S minus R and X minus Y. Just go ahead and substitute, you'll find it. And there is the A3B3 still there. So, second line is X minus Y, yeah. So now we bring A3B3 inside. So this is S minus R, this is X minus Y. This becomes, if X and Y is equal, this becomes 1. So we are left with this guy. And this guy is the same thing as PA divided by PB. Second one is G2, but all that is irrelevant. This thing is equal to PA divided by PB. This is G2, but who cares? This is to the power 0. So anything to the power 0 is 1, so we can ignore this term. If we can ignore this term, this is equal to that one. So if X and Y are not equal, your check will fail. You're checking whether RAB is equal to PA divided by PB. This is the check. And that's not going to work if X and Y are not equal. But does that solve the problem? Maybe. Why do we need A2, A3, B2, B3, R, S, all this junk? Can we just somehow do a simpler calculation with X and Y? I've tried. I haven't come up with a better algorithm. But even if you do, you go like, am I inventing something that is wrong? So somebody has invented this and proven it, and it works. You can try to make it simpler. I don't know if you'll succeed, but this is an enormous amount of computations. But answer finally is that both people have some numbers, and PA divided by PB should be equal to RAB. And then there is no MITM. If there is no MITM, you've done an AKE or authenticated. There is no MITM. We are using Diffie-Hellman keys. So the symmetric key that you should use is G to the power A3 B3, which is the same thing as G3. So G1, G2, G3 were three keys exchanged using Diffie-Hellman. We just decided to use G3 and go with it. And there is no MITM. And that's your OTR protocol. Yeah. No? Okay. So yeah, I was nervous because, you know, you make one mistake here, it just, I've taken this, I'll put a link to the page where I got this from. The whole math is there. You can verify it from there, or you can verify it from your notes, but it's an interesting protocol. So this is the hardest thing I have to teach. Rest is going to be complicated, but I know how those things work. But I had to do OTR.